Welcome to the Polka Dotsy Body Love Podcast, the podcast where we encourage you to eat, move, and think because you love yourself. With your host, Chloe Pedley. Hey, this is Chloe, and welcome to today's episode where we're going to talk about all things postnatal fitness and body image. Postpartum fitness, if you're playing along in the States, postpartum. So postpartum fitness and postnatal fitness, it's a really hot topic right now, and there are a lot of people making a lot of money out of fitness programs for new mums. And I think to a degree, fitness programs for mums has always been a really strong marketing point in a lot of personal trainers and a lot of fitness coaches' regimes. Because as women, after we've had babies, our bodies change significantly. And I mean significantly. We have breast changes, we have belly changes, we have brand new marks and skin tags and soft bits and squishy bits that weren't necessarily there before. But when we're talking about postpartum fitness, I guess there's a couple of things that we also have to take into account. So in addition to the aesthetic changes and the changes that happen to how we look, there's a lot of stuff that can go on inside our bodies that makes a really big difference to how we have to work out as well. So people who are training women who've had babies need to be aware of incontinency. They need to be aware of prolapse. They need to be aware of the joint laxity that can come with pregnancy and breastfeeding and recovering mums. And there's a whole heap of other stuff that happens as well, like the mental health and the body image issues that arise in mums. One of the things that makes me really encouraged about our industry is that there are a lot of amazing coaches and education providers who are doing the right thing and are helping personal trainers upskill to train women safely. And there have always been postpartum fitness packages that have been available to trainers outside of our original fitness certifications. And it's kind of a shame because our fitness certifications don't really touch on pregnancy or what happens to the body after birth. And it's something that as trainers, we have to spend additional money in professional development to access and upskill in. So there's some incredible people out there like Girls Gone Strong and Jen Duggard and Michelle Wright who are really – oh, and Jessie Mundell. We can't forget Jessie Mundell, who are really pioneering women's fitness and mum's fitness and talking about things like prolapse. And they're talking about things like incontinence and pelvic health and the mental health and the body image issues that arise with mothers because it's so – damned important, and it does impact on how we train. So in today's episode, we're going to have a chat about what some of these things mean, specifically for women who are looking at hiring a personal trainer or women who are returning to the gym after they've had their babies. And we're going to have a talk about how to stay safe and how to progress your fitness as we go ahead. Now, caveat to all of this, none of my advice is a replacement for seeing your doctor or your pelvic health physiotherapist. I strongly recommend before undertaking any fitness program that you go and speak to your care provider before engaging in any physical activity. It's very important that you keep yourself safe and you approach your fitness with sensibility. With that being said, postpartum fitness is something that really does help us, and it has a whole swag of benefits if we're looking after ourselves. It helps us sleep better. It helps us feel stronger. It helps us get our energy levels back. It helps our bodies recover from birth. And it's one of those things that really adds to our life when it's done sensibly with a strong nutrition program so that we're fueling our body to move.
So there's lots of schools of thought
on how we should return to exercise. And from a very conservative, very basic way of looking at things, your first 4 weeks, like you've just pushed an entire human being out of your body and your body spent 9 to 10 months growing this entire human being. So I think you've deserved and you have definitely earned your rest. So these early days after you've had your baby, it's a really great time to rest and recover and see your pelvic health physiotherapist and talk to your care provider about things like support garments if they're needed. And that's definitely something that your pelvic health physiotherapist should advise you on as to whether or not you need it or not. And it's a good time to start thinking about things like your pelvic floor exercises and gently turning on those muscles in your tummy that have basically been stretched and put through the ringer as you've grown and birthed your baby. So as you get a little bit more sleep, hopefully, and as you progress into the first month of motherhood where you're looking at the next 4 to 8 weeks, it's the perfect time, if your body's up for it, to start having a look at getting some fresh air, getting out, walking with your baby, gentle resistance exercises, and speaking to a trainer who can advise you on how to make sure that those exercises aren't going to exacerbate existing injuries or things that have happened from when you've had your baby. So we're going to talk about that in a second, and we're going to talk about diastasis, and we're going to talk about pelvic organ prolapse and make sure that you understand what these terms mean and hopefully aren't scared of these terms, because as you're recovering, a lot of people will tell you that there's a whole heap of exercises that you can't do. And I'm inclined to agree. I'm inclined to think that in some cases, certain exercises for new mums aren't necessarily appropriate depending on how their body is responding, depending on what's going on with them. And we certainly don't want to make injuries happen, and we certainly don't want to make injuries worse. So 4 to 8 weeks after you've had your babe, it's great to get walking. Walking is a fantastic exercise, a little bit of gentle resistance work, start building up some strength. Fabulous stuff. It'll start making you feel better. If you're having, you know, minor mental health challenges, and I'm going to put this caveat in here as well, like, this is definitely no replacement for seeking mental health care. And I strongly recommend that if you're a new mum, or if you're an older mum and you've been parenting for a long while and you're still struggling with your mental health, seek help. You are worthwhile, you are important, and it's so important that you take care of yourself, because there's only one of you. The universe will only ever see one of you, and we want to make sure that you're looked after. So 8 to 12 weeks after you've had your baby, you might be starting to feel pretty normal again. Like, by this stage, if you've had a cesarean birth, you'll start feeling less pain, your scar won't be as tender. If you've had a vaginal birth, all things being equal, your body will start feeling a bit normal. By this stage, if you're breastfeeding your baby, generally your milk supply has regulated. And if that's where you're at, you've usually had your rec check with your doctor and your 6-week check, if that's how your care's been managed, it's okay to start working your regular fitness routine back into your repertoire. Of course, do this under the guidance of your pelvic health physiotherapist. Do this under the guidance of a trainer who knows what to watch for and is making sure that you're looking after your body. But you're a mum. You're not a delicate flower. You're someone who has just created an entire human. And maybe you might not quite be back in the CrossFit box lifting super heavy weights and doing your 1 rep maxes just yet. Maybe that's not quite appropriate for you, but it's not to say that you can't get back into these things with time and strategy. So from about 12 weeks onwards, you should be feeling back to your normal self. You might not be, and that's okay as well. It might be taking longer. Definitely take care of your body and look after yourself, but you should be able to complete most exercises. So the general golden rule of thumb here is don't pee, move without pain, and do it under the guidance of your healthcare provider. So make sure you get clearance.
So let's talk about this really hot topic returning back to your exercises. Postpartum fitness at the moment, which is the diastasis, or the diastasis, depending on how you happen to pronounce this word. Diastasis recti. Basically what a diastasis is a gap. And in the case of diastasis recti, it's a gap down your linea alba, so your six-pack muscles in your tummy. And basically, a lot of women are looking to get rid of that pregnant-looking pooch. And I don't even like the idea here, but let's talk about it. So when we're pregnant and we're growing this entire tiny human inside our tummy muscles stretch, and the connective tissue can sometimes the muscles can separate down the midline of your tummy. In fact, the connective tissue can actually separate as well. And that's a different deal and probably requires surgery. So with all of this in mind, it's super common, with over half of women in pregnancy experiencing a diastasis during their third trimester or postpartum. And as a personal trainer who works with postpartum women, a lot of my clients come to me with the specific intention of trying to heal the gap in their tummy muscles, with the intention to flatten out their tummy and get their pre-baby belly back. And a couple of caveats here. Firstly, like, if you've had a baby, you're always postnatal, so you're never going to get your baby belly back. You haven't lost it. It's not disappeared. It hasn't gone poof and like run away or anything. But it's definitely postpartum forever. There are changes that happen in your body that you just can't reverse, which is fine. You can definitely flatten out your tummy. You can definitely build strength back into your tummy, but some of the changes might be permanent. So that's okay. And we need to sort of have better conversations and better visibility of postpartum bellies in the fitness game, because I think we need to start accepting and expanding what our ideal of normal and beautiful actually is when it comes to postpartum bellies. So you can build strong, you can build fit, you can build healthy, you can build muscular, you can build lean, but you might always be a slightly different shape. So if you haven't assessed your diastasis, it's really great to speak to a pelvic health physiotherapist. And there are self-assessment tools on Polkadotsy if you want to check it out, and I'll put the links in the transcript. But basically, lie back and have a feel of your tummy, from your ribs down to your pubic bone. Bring your chin to your chest. I don't want you crunching. And have a feel of the muscles as they engage in your tummy. Sometimes down the midline of those muscles, you'll feel a gap. If there's a gap of more than two fingers, you should definitely seek out the assistance of a pelvic health physiotherapist. If the gap is two fingers or less, it's what we consider in the industry to be normal. But I still like my women to go see a physio, because it's always better to make sure that there's nothing else going on, because a diastasis is just one thing that happens to postpartum women. And quite frankly, there's lots of things that can go on in our bodies after we've had our babies. So I think it's the gold standard of care, and it's a little gift to yourself to make sure that you're being looked after. Your physiotherapist will most likely use an ultrasound to assess your tummy muscles and see which ones are firing and functioning, and they may give you exercises to practice at home to start restoring the deep core muscles and getting them to fire up and turn on like they're meant to. Your core is what keeps you strong in the center. It means things, well, actually, here we go with what we don't know about diastasis, right? Like, so once upon a time, we all thought that a strong core meant less backaches, and that once we heal a diastasis, we'll get better posture, greater strength, and it's really important to heal it. But new research is actually indicating that the presence or absence of a diastasis doesn't have any impact on back pain, and it doesn't have any real impact on posture, and it might just be something that's normal and maybe even necessary for pregnant and postpartum women. We don't know. Regardless, don't panic. It's not a life sentence, and it's something that can be rehabilitated with appropriate exercises. So it's an area of fitness that I'm really, really passionate about, because there's exercises that can actually exacerbate a diastasis, or diastasis if you prefer. And I think it's really important that trainers are aware of how women transfer load through their abdominal muscles, and how they engage their abdominal muscles in exercises that require them to recruit those muscles. So things like sit-ups and crunches and planks and double leg raises initially might not be appropriate for some women, and initially, they might not be appropriate for postpartum women as they're healing, but it's definitely something that we want to build back into women's repertoire, because quite frankly, we can't go through life avoiding certain movements, because that's not how life works. We have to lift toddlers out of cars. We have to bring grocery shopping in. We have to enjoy the sports that we enjoy, and we have to keep living our life. And if we say to women, okay, well, you can never crunch, or you can never plank, then we eliminate a lot of movement patterns out of their life that they would ordinarily be using on a day-to-day basis. So my personal philosophy here is that we should be training women to work with their bodies and be able to incorporate all of the movement into their bodies. So initially, yeah, maybe avoid planks, maybe avoid burpees, maybe avoid your double leg lifts while your body recovers and gets strong, but definitely work towards incorporating those things in without creating abdominal doming. And another caveat here, is abdominal doming necessarily a bad thing? The short answer is we don't know. The research is happening, but we don't know. In terms of the aesthetic changes from a diastasis can leave you looking a lot like you still are pregnant. And that's why it's such big money in the personal training industry, because teaching, training and providing a solution for women to not look pregnant anymore and to flatten out their bellies is, it's playing into the beauty game where, you know, flat tummies and prepubescent bodies are fantastic, but postnatal bodies are something that are considered to be ugly or flawed or secondhand. And I use all of this language with a bit of care because I have these feelings myself. I'm a mother of four. I find the changes that happened in my own body to be incredibly confronting. The stretch marks, the skin changes, the diastasis, it's all stuff that it takes a lot of mental work for me to feel positive about my own body. And as someone who works in body positivity and body acceptance and promoting body diversity, it's really challenging to be accepting of my own postpartum tummy.
So diastasis is just one part of things that can change in terms of postpartum bodies. And yes, as I say, it affects
a huge number of women, up to 50%. But it's just one part of postpartum recovery. And we're going to talk about a few of the other slightly more bigger and scarier terms. So let's start with the big P of prolapse. Actually, a lot of my stuff today is about P's, pooches, prolapse, pee, all of the P's. So prolapse. It sounds like a horrifying, scary word. And they certainly didn't teach us this in sex ed. And they didn't teach us it when we were in our personal training schools. But it's really important that we do talk about this because it affects a lot of people. Sometimes during the pregnancy, the pelvic floor is stretched and weakened enough for the pelvic organs to make a downward bid for freedom through the rectum or through the vagina. I'll just let you sit and visualize that for a minute because it's pretty much as what's happening. So you can have a bladder prolapse and you can have a rectal prolapse. You can have a uterine prolapse or an intestinal prolapse. And it can be caused by menopause or pelvic surgery or pressure in the abdomen. Fun fact, when I was learning to say abominable, I used to say the abdominal snowman. So like my snowman had abs. Anyway, so like abdomen pressure, a bout of coughing or sneezing or a bad flu can actually cause a prolapse as well. Or sometimes it's something we're born with, so it can be a congenital weakness as well. Symptoms of prolapse can include a dragging sensation or a heavy feeling like something's falling down or something's falling out of our vaginas or our bottoms. It can be a heavy or aching vagina or pelvic region. Like it's a dull, achy feeling. It can be a lump or a bulge in the vagina or the vaginal entrance. It can feel like you're not quite emptying your bladder. It can feel like you're not quite emptying your bowels. So when you do a poo, it feels like you're not quite getting everything out and cutting it off. It can be a dull backache, or one of the things that we don't talk about, but it's really important we talk about it. It can be a feeling of pain or obstruction during sex. And quite often when my clients report symptomatically that they're scared they might have a prolapse, it's usually because their partners have mentioned something about their sex lives. And I mean, that's fantastic that they're talking about it, but I think we need to do better in terms of spreading the message about what women can be experiencing postpartum to make sure that they actually get this stuff checked out. Because a prolapse is something that can be managed. It's something that can be worked on and rehabilitated. There's options available to us. It's not this life sentence, and it's not something that's scary or shameful. But we can't tell unless we go see a pelvic health physiotherapist. So treatment for a prolapse can include physical therapy. It can include mechanical things like pessaries. It can include lifestyle changes. So making sure that we're aware of what's going on in our body and transferring the load through our body when we're lifting heavy. And it can just mean sometimes for some women it's surgery. There are some fantastic resources for prolapse, and the Continence Foundation and Better Health Victoria have some beautiful fact sheets on pelvic organ prolapse. So the other thing that I'd like to bust, because I always thought that prolapses were something that affected older women. And you think of your grandmother having a prolapse as she's going through menopause. But the actual fact of the matter is it doesn't really matter how old you are. You can still have a prolapse, and it can be something that's affects anyone. And the more I speak to my clients about it, the more common I actually see it is. And educating women on what to look for means that we can treat and manage and deal with these symptoms before they become more serious. So prolapses, from the training perspective, there are excellent courses. MishFit, Girls Gone Strong has a fantastic course, and Jessie Mundell's postpartum training course is absolutely fantastic as well. So it's worthwhile having a look into these things. And as a personal trainer, I suggest that other trainers get savvy with this stuff, because it's so important that we look after the women and that we look after women's bodies and stop injuring them with things like prolapse and stop making them exacerbate their prolapses and teaching them that they can be strong and fit and healthy regardless of whether or not they have a prolapse, because fitness is something that should be accessible and available and I think to everybody.
There's another resource that occasionally I only stumbled upon these recently things.
And I'm ever so glad that I did, because Anthony Lowe's course, his physio detective mentoring course, has been absolutely incredible in dispelling some of the myths and building up confidence and getting rid of some of the fear around postpartum fitness. But Anthony also offers a course specifically for coaching the female athlete. And I think this is something that all personal trainers should look into, because quite frankly, we want strong women. We want women who enjoy their sports and have a degree of fitness that keeps them healthy and strong and helps them manage their mental health and helps them manage their day-to-day stuff, because quite frankly, it's a gift to women to be able to do this. And so in addition to the early postpartum stuff that is taught by many, many other fitness education providers, Anthony's course takes you one step beyond that, and it starts pushing the boundaries and pushing the edges of what postpartum women are actually capable of. And in this particular instance, I'm a huge raving fan. As someone who's had 4 children and was terrified of her incontinency, I've been to see a pelvic health physiotherapist, and I've got great results from doing that, and I'm well aware of what's going on in my body and my own, like minor prolapse and the things that are happening to me. Anthony's course has taught me to challenge my boundaries and lean on the fences a little bit and start incorporating slightly more high impact exercises, start incorporating my strength work back into my program and my regime, and start getting rid of that fear that I had around what my body is and isn't capable of. So check out Anthony Lowe and the Physio Detective, and I'll definitely be posting
and
the
links
below. And as
promised, the final P in my P's series.
In this case, it's urine, pee, wee, all of the things that we can call it. It's another one of those lovely side effects that's often experienced by postpartum women, sometimes pregnant women, and sometimes women who've never had babies, which was my case before I had children. Hooray for incontinence. So I'm going to start with a story. So hi, my name's Chloe, and when I was a young girl, I was at my school carnival, and we have a sport called tunnel ball, which involves several children standing in a line, and then you open up your legs and you roll the ball down the tunnel and you race to the front of the line and you do it all again. So I was the front of the line, and the starter said, "Ready, set, go." And I ready, set, went and wet my pants in front of the entire school. Incontinence for me has been something that has been a huge part of my life through my childhood until I managed it. And then after I had my babies, it came back again. So I was the woman who was in the craft and hobby store who didn't actually realize that the puddle on the floor, pooling between my legs was me. I didn't even feel the sensation of peeing. And I was someone who was relatively confident and comfortable with doing my pelvic floor exercises, because after my second baby, I had the wonderful benefit of working with a pregnancy and postpartum trained personal trainer. That's a lot of P's. Who helped me learn how to engage my muscles and helped me learn how to do my pelvic floor exercises, but also advised that maybe high impact exercises weren't necessarily there for me just yet. And that can be the case. Now, the thing about urinary incontinence is there's lots of reasons it can be happening. Your muscles might be too tight. Your muscles might be too loose. They might be too relaxed. They might not be doing anything at all. There might be nervous stuff that's going on, and there might be other things that are happening in your body that are causing this. The sad part about all of this is you can't really tell without having someone do an investigation, which is where pelvic health physiotherapists are absolutely fabulous. And it wasn't until I went and had an examination with a pelvic health physiotherapist, and I'm just going to do a quick shout out to Pelvic Health here in Melbourne, or Melbourne Pelvic Health, because they are fantastic, that I started getting in control of my own incontinency. So it starts with things like pelvic floor exercises. It starts with things like ultrasound to find out what's actually going on in your body. Sometimes there are internal and pelvic exams involved, and that's not something to be afraid of, because I think knowledge is power, and it's something that is really, really
and there's cool different reasons that people are incontinent. So sometimes there's urge incontinence where all of a sudden you need to go and you need to go now.
There can be stress incontinence where you sneeze and you might leak a little bit, and there's lots of different reasons that you can be incontinent. So that's why it's really important to go see a care provider and get this stuff sussed out, because it can be things like diet, it can be things like the caffeine that you're drinking, it can be things like the muscles. There's so many factors and variables that can play into incontinency that it's really important you get it checked out, because as soon as you know, you can start making changes in your life. So as someone who loves to run and really enjoys running, incontinency when I was running was like a really, really confronting thing, and having to make sure I took changes of knickers and pants whenever I went to a fitness class was really confronting as well. And I thought I was alone in this. It was something that was so shameful. I never spoke about it. But the more people I speak to about it, the more I realize that it really is actually a thing, and that personal trainers aren't necessarily taught